may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I did pray, and let the words of our mouth, as Amy and I will be teaming up today. Again, as I said before we began our worship, today is the National Blue Sunday Day of Prayer for Abused Children. As we were looking towards this, and as we've been focusing on how can we strengthen our next steps in ministry to children, we thought this would be an appropriate day to tie them together. Because one of the things that we need to be mindful of in children's ministry is the security and care, the prevention of abuse of children. Because sadly, it happens even in the church. In fact, the church can seem like such a safe and unsuspecting place. It makes us all the more vulnerable for those kinds of things. And so, very important to us. I want to tie in the fact that this really is a part of the Great Commission. We want to be a Great Commission community, correct? That's what our heart has been. We're growing in that. That's what our focus is, the theme. Okay, we're going to be makers of disciples. How do we do this? Well, one thing is that we need to be a place that is understood to be safe for that to take place. So I've asked Amy to address that element of it. Amy Wilburn is our new children's ministry coordinator. She's part-time right now. She's finishing up her responsibilities at Grace Prep Christian School. She is, I guess, vice principal as well as sixth grade teacher and everything that's needed there. She concludes that at the end of this school year, and then she'll be taking off. She's already been taking off, and so I bless her for her efforts in sharing in this with me today. I want to set the context for it, and so I want to do it with just a few scripture verses. First of all, we all, I'm sure, remember Jesus' words when clearly there were crowds coming up to Jesus, and in those crowds were families and families that had children, and they brought them, those children, to Jesus that he might lay his hands on them and pray. This is in Matthew chapter 19. It's also in Mark. The disciples rebuked the people. Oh, there we go. The disciples rebuked the people. Hey, he doesn't have time for kids, right? I mean, it doesn't tell us that they said that, but what are they rebuking the people? Hey, come on, come on, come on. He's, you know, you can just imagine that. And sadly, of course, that happens in the church, doesn't it? We'll often see the kids as secondary. That's not the way the Lord looks at it, okay? Jesus basically rebuked them and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." There's a lot to unpack there that we won't do, but I could do a sermon on that. But to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Bottom line you get out of that is Jesus wants the children to come to him. One of the things that shaped my life as a child was learning that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, right? Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, okay? And so very instructive to me about how God loves me. That's part of that discipleship that's going on. Okay, if he loves them and wants them to come to him, he says, don't hinder them. And we can hinder in a variety of ways. Ignoring them, not being concerned about their well-being, giving them the attention that's needed, etc. I mean, just a variety of ways that we can hinder. Do not hinder them coming to Jesus. Rather, enable them to come to Jesus. Catherine Hauenstein, the former children's ministry director, what we were so concerned with is that the children would know that Jesus loved them. And she led that whole ministry into that in just a powerful, powerful way. And that's why these children, they love this place. This is a home. And that's what we want them to feel like. Okay, so that's critical. They belong to him. And Peter, Pentecost, preaching, people are saying, what do we do? And he says, you know, be baptized, repent and be baptized, all of you. And this is for you and for your children. Okay, so as Peter's inviting them into essentially what was the new covenant, he's saying, this is for your children. They belong in the covenant of the kingdom. That's what we're in. So that was emphasized again as the church is there on Pentecost. And what are we to do then? Well, that's rooted right back in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy. We had our reading today from Deuteronomy. This is another place in Deuteronomy. The Lord said this to his people through Moses. Only take care. Well, let me set this context. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? So the Lord is near to us. We recognize his presence within our midst. And we do recognize it here at COK, right? You can tell the Lord is with us. He's in our presence. So, then it says, only take care. Okay, saints of COK, take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. And that is repeated over and over right to the very end of the book of Deuteronomy. I'm just going to hit you the great, powerful, great Shema. You've all heard of that, I trust. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. The first and great commandment, right? And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. I remember raising our children. That's what we did. Lots of times, not even really consciously, but, you know, we're in the car, we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the faith, we're listening to Christian hymns, we're talking about things going on in the culture and the society, tying them into the Lord, right? That's the discipleship that goes on, that raises those children up to be adults who are walking in the knowledge and love of the Lord. And that's what a disciple is. So making the disciples, it begins in the home with the family. So the Sunday school, by the way, is not intended to be the substitute for parents. What we are, we've talked about this, we as the church are family, right? We are brothers and sisters. That's what the scripture tells us. We are family to one another. And as the family, we're supporting the nuclear families in the discipleship of their children. And of course, scripture also says, train your children up in the Lord, right? In the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And I've seen witness to that. Yeah? They'll go the circuitous route at times. Seen that too. But they come to the Lord. Okay? They're raised up in him. So that's discipleship. So our part is to do that and contribute to that. And that's then all of us together, because we're all family. And so these little children that went back, we're missing a lot of them today, but, you know, went back to the children's chapel. They, you know, we share in the care and oversight of them, care for them. So we raise up ministers to help us to do that, and that's where Amy has stepped forward for such a time as this to help us take next steps in the way that we will disciple the children of COK. So Amy, would you come on up, please, and share with us some of your vision? By the way, she's coming up, so I don't forget. The issue for care of our children is tremendous in our culture today. But a lot of that's rooted in the fact that a lot of us were wounded. And so if you were abused as a child, or really any time in your life, and you need to work that through, you need to talk that through, I'm here for you, okay? And we'll make sure that the proper people are available to minister to you in the Lord's healing and that. So, because some of this can raise that up in our own life, okay? But remember, Jesus loves you, and he has a destiny that's glorious for you.
Father Chuck, for having me speak this morning, and thank you to the vestry for also encouraging me to come up and talk to you all about the children's ministry. I do apologize up front because of what we're talking about is heavy. It's heavy, and as I look out at everyone, you know, I see wounded people. We're all wounded in some way or another, and I'm sorry if you were wounded in this way ever. That should have never happened to you. And I just want to acknowledge that this morning. You might even be wondering again why we're talking about this topic today at all. And as Father Chuck mentioned, this month of April is a month we are become aware of child abuse. So it's a month set aside for our awareness for that. And this particular Sunday is set aside especially to pray for children that are going through this tragic reality right now. As the coordinator for our children and youth, I've been charged with bringing to your attention that we as a church do in fact have policy regarding this matter. Our Safe Church Policy Procedures manual is a 75-page document that was created by a team under the direction of our Bishop, Clark Lowenfield, for the use of our diocese. The document can be found in our church website, and I would encourage each of you to go there and take a look at it. The document starts out with a very compelling letter from our bishop in which he outlines who we are as a church, our responsibility to provide a safe church environment, affirmations of what we as a faithful people believe, and finally, why we need to have such policy within our churches to protect our vulnerable people. The document itself has five main components that help to give us guidance and instruction in the matters of safety for our children and vulnerable adults. The five components of this policy address 1, screening. So we screen everybody who works in any capacity with children and youth. It also talks about training. All employees and volunteers working with children are trained on these policies and procedures. And the training includes the third component, which talks about both appropriate and inappropriate ways of interacting with children, or even with adults too. In order to maintain healthy boundaries with them. And an example of what I mean by that is children are always willing to come up and give big giant bear hugs, full to the front bear hugs. And that's one thing that we have to be careful of as adults. So a way to, a more appropriate way for us as an adult would be to give them a high five, encourage high fiving, or come alongside them and give a side hug rather than those full frontal hugs. The fourth component addresses specific ways in which we monitor of children, so what's happening in our classrooms, and I'm going to speak to that again in just a little bit. And the final component instructs on the ways our church is to respond and to report in case of an incident. As I said before, the policy can be found on our COK website under the Children's Ministry, and it's titled Safe Church Policy and Procedures. The purpose for sharing information about this document today is not only to bring awareness of child abuse to our minds so that we can pray for those in need, but also to bring awareness that our church actively works to greatly diminish the possibility of abuse happening within our doors. And I really hope that you all take some time to read the policy in order to gain a better understanding of why it was created and how the churches in our diocese are taking action to equip leaders to safeguard those in its care. Now, if I may, I'd like to take some time to talk about some of the changes that have come up here and are going to come up for our children and youth ministry in direct regard to safety. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a person who loves rules. So you are either a person who loves rules or maybe not. but I have to admit that policy and procedure is kind of my thing. And anyone who has spent much time with me knows that I'm a rule follower myself, and I want everyone around me following the rules also. That's only fair, right? There is a right and a wrong answer for everything, and I like to make certain that we all know what it is and we're all following it. There is truth, and there's goodness, and there's beauty in the wisdom of rule following, not only for those provided to us in the Bible through the Ten Commandments, but also in the way we are instructed by our Heavenly Father to obey the laws under which we are governed by our earthly leaders. I mean, really, you can't argue with me, right? The answer's right. To that end, one of the things that I appreciate about our policies and procedures is that they're written as a minimum standard of care. And that means that we as a church, for COK ourselves, our family, we are able to add to our policies and procedures as we see fit. So Father Chuck and I this summer will be discussing this topic in detail. As he mentioned before, I'm still finishing up my job at Grace Prep. And when that's finished mid-May, I'll be here working, and we'll be going through all of these things and addressing the issue of safety within our children's ministry with some fresh eyes. Now, she's not present right now because she's back with the children, but I am so thankful for Catherine Howenstein. Her team and Catherine, who came before me, they have been so great. Such a great team for discipling our young people. And because of their dedication to the spiritual development of our children, that component of my job is already in place. It's wonderful to see how full of joy the kids in our ministry are. And that's a direct result of Catherine's discipleship. They are alive with joy. They're beaming with smiles. They're vigorous for their discipleship training. And I absolutely love to see them back in their happy place. And that's really what the children's wing is for them. It's their happy place here in their church home. Their obvious joy and enthusiasm for the Lord, it's contagious. And it's the main reason why we do what we do and why people love to work with kids. So thank you, Catherine, for instilling the love of Christ in our youth. Because this key component of our ministry is already in place, I have more time to devote to the changes that are necessary to fulfill our requirements for a safe church children's ministry. So what are these changes that I keep talking about? Well, you may have noticed some of them already. One obvious change is that we currently have a police officer on duty during our worship time. Have you all noticed? By the way, his name is Jason. So that's Officer Jason that we see most of the time here. And he, I think, likes being here as much as we like having him. Yeah, he's great. You should get to know him. But that's a direct result of our parish leadership and our safety team desiring to maintain a level of safety within our church that is becoming a standard of practice among churches and schools today. And I, for one, am very glad to see a police officer standing right outside our children's ministry wing. Another change that you may have noticed is that I also am standing outside of the children's ministry wing. I'm carefully monitoring who is coming and going from the area. Now, I may not be quite as intimidating as Officer Jason, but I've heard from my sixth graders that I teach that I'm a close second. All I have to do is raise one eyebrow at my students, and they know. You may have also noticed a new face in our nursery. That's Miss Alicia. And you may have heard us or observed us talking about the importance of having at least two adults present at all times in our nursery. With your help, this change will also take place throughout all of our Sunday school classes. And any time we are working with children and youth from the ages of 0 to 17. This particular change to adults is vital not only for our children, but also for the safety of our adult caregivers and teachers. It is our goal to always have two adults present, preferably not related unless a third adult is present. So false accusations do come up sometimes, and which is why we want to always make sure to protect our adults as well in the classrooms and make sure that there are two people present. It's not only for the safety of the child, but it's also for the safety of the adult. Other changes have come in the form of asking kids to finish eating their breakfast in the fellowship hall so that we're not dragging food throughout the church and back into the classrooms and just making things messy with food. Also ensuring that parents are signing their kids in and dropping their kids off and coming back to retrieve their children and not just allowing their kids to come and go freely. We're also, if you've noticed, I've closed the doors to the children's ministry after the church service is over. And that is just to prevent kids from going back. They want to go back. Again, I said that was their happy place. It really is. They want to run right back there and go back and play with toys and get games out and finish coloring and run outside to the playground. The problem is there aren't any, there's no adults back there watching them at this time. And so they really need to be under the care and provision of their parents after church because I don't have eyes on them. I don't have people back there to help keep eyes on them. There's much to come. And this summer is going to be really busy making plans, recruiting, and training help. Remodeling and redecorating the entire children's wing. If you like to do those kinds of things, come see me. It's 12 years that we've been in this building, so that's 12 years worth of handprints and toys that have been used over and over and over and over again, baby dolls that probably need to go in the washer and dryer. So we're going to be doing some remodeling back there. We're going to be revamping our children's ministry, and it's an exciting time to come and be a part of it with us. So in conclusion, I'm now going to make a shameless plug for your help. So get ready. But in all seriousness, I do want to reiterate, we cannot do this without your help. We need you. So I want to bring your attention to the reality of our volunteer situation within the children's ministry. The reality is that we're in a hard place. We're currently depending on very few hands to do much work. But I have a prayer, and it's a very big prayer. It's like one of those really big God prayers. And I invite you to join in me with it. And my prayer is that by the beginning of our new school year in September, our children's ministry we'll have a volunteer pool of 44 people. That's a lot. I heard someone say, wow. That is a wow. Like I said, this is a big God prayer. It's a big wow. And I'm going to tell you how many we currently have. So get ready. We currently have a screened and trained volunteer force of 8 people. 8 people. Thank you for your service. Those 8 people. I see some of you in here. Thank you for what you are doing and what you have been doing, and I pray that you will continue to be a part of our team. But 8 people are consistently volunteering with 3 paid employees to carry the load of the discipleship of our entire church, families, youth, and children. I hope you feel that heaviness, because that's heavy. To operate each Sunday within our policy, we need 11. We need 11 volunteers every Sunday. To operate with a set of volunteers rotating every 4 weeks, so we don't have the same 11 every week, never coming to church because they're always back there. We don't want to do that to anyone. We need 44 volunteers. That's where the number 44 came from. So my goal is to have how many?
44.
How many?
44.
Oh, yes, okay. 44 volunteers, screened, trained, and ready to go for our new Sunday school year in September. I have a sign-up list. It has 44 slots on it, and I'll be praying that y'all come. The early service had about 44 people in there, and I told them they all needed to sign up. We can't do this without your help. So can you? Actually, will you help in the discipleship of our children, our youth, and our adolescents? Will you be a part of this most precious group who require a community of faithful people to serve and sacrifice for them? And it's not just women. This is not a ministry for women only. Men, I'm to you, I see you. I see some of you are like, no, you're not talking to me. Yes, I'm talking to you. Men, you can volunteer and you can even work in the nursery. I know there's men out there that like to hold babies. I know, because I've been told by them. Can I work in the nursery because I like to hold babies? Yes, yes, but guess what? You can't change their diapers because you don't know how. You don't do it right. I know right and wrong, right? So anyway, don't worry, men. You won't be changing baby diapers. But come and volunteer. Come and volunteer. Men, come teach Sunday school. There's high schoolers that need you. There's middle schoolers that need you. There's elementary kids who need you. And there's babies that need held. I'm going to be serving right there alongside you, okay? And I'm going to make certain that you're given the proper training and the proper support that you need to carry out our mission of discipling our young people with the care and protection that they deserve. Our kids are fantastic. They're super fun, and they're so friendly and full of love. And it's okay if you don't have any experience working with kids, because I've heard that, oh, I don't have any experience working with kids. That's okay. It's okay if you've never taught. Well, I've never taught before. Well, guess what? There was a day when I never taught either, and I had to walk into a classroom and open my mouth and words had to come out. Right? I didn't have children always. I learned. All you have to do is love Jesus. That's it. And I know you all already do that. That's all you have to do. If you love Jesus, loving our kids will be easy. And discipling them will be even easier. So I'll be outside the children's ministry this morning and every other morning. That's where you can find me with my clipboard and my 44 slots. Okay? Because I know this can happen. I know God. You know him too. And he can do big God things. I'm depending on him. May the Lord bless you all this morning, and may he bless and protect our children, whom he loves. And he said of them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." God bless you all.
Amy, bless you. Just a couple words. Again, to emphasize that this call is to support and enable the discipleship ministry of this church. I think about ministries that a lot of us carry out, and sometimes we don't make the connection to how those ministries are enabling it. I'll take, for instance, the kitchen. So you got a kitchen team comes in there, and they're preparing, the meal, the breakfast. Well, what does this have to do with discipleship? Well, one, of course, there's discipleship itself in serving others, correct? And modeling that for others. And then there's the discipleship of enabling people to come in fellowship, and that's part of involvement in fellowship. The other is that as they're enabled to come and encouraged to come, they want to come because of that good breakfast, they're there to learn. That's discipleship. So all that is connected. When we have people helping in the children's ministry, they may not be doing the direct teaching, but if they're there to help provide for the oversight, the care, that enables discipleship. The reality is if we don't have those people, it could be that we can't do that ministry. And that ministry right here, we begin with our own children, correct? That's what you hear in the scripture, right? He didn't have a big Sunday school program there. The parents, the families. But we as a family have said, this is a good way to help support families in the discipleship. But that's not the only way. People come as guests. People have kids. And they see the witness. These people love Jesus, and they love my children. And they're concerned about them. And they're taking steps to make sure to do the best they can to disciple them in a safe environment, okay? So it's the family of God doing it together. Then the other thing is I had the wife of a priest friend of mine. She visits family here in New Braunfels from time to time. She was at worship at the early service today, and she shared with me afterwards that her husband, who is an Anglican priest, came to the Lord through men who served the Lord in Sunday school. He was fatherless, and those men made a huge difference in his coming to know the Lord. So, men, we have our place and our role in the children's lives. We should know that. Jesus is the man of all men. And what does he say? Suffer the little children to come to me. And that's who we're to grow into, right? More and more. In the image of Christ. So that's our call as COK. Bless the Lord for those who have ministered to our children over the years. Bless the Lord for such a time as this in our culture today that he's raised up people like Amy to take these other steps that we might carry out. So I thank the Lord for that, and I invite you to join me in prayer. Would you please stand with me, and we'll pray. And again, I want to reemphasize that if you have been, we've all been wounded, right? We've all been wounded. We've wounded ourselves in our own sin. We're a mess. We need a Savior. Praise the Lord, we have one. And he has the power to change our lives. And he uses us together to do that. And I'm at your service. The staff is at your service for your continued healing in Christ. So please never be bashful about that. No more sermons, Steve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our great Father, and you are holy. You are perfect in your love and in your care for us. So much so that you sent God the Son to rescue us. And we thank you for that rescue. and therefore the hope that we have that one day all things will be set right. But in the meantime, O Lord, we are to be an expression of your kingdom here. And we ask, O Lord, that more and more we at COK will grow into the likeness of Christ and also grow in reflecting the kingdom's values to the world, to those who come into our midst, that others may know who you are and enter into your saving and hopeful embrace. So use us, Lord. Enable us to make disciples, beginning, right, Lord, with the children that you brought into our midst. May we love them and treasure them like you do. And then, Lord, use those great lovers of the Lord to touch other children and their families. And just let that spread and multiply through New Braunfels, through Texas, and the world to your glory's sake. We ask it. Amen.